Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
It is Dave Player on this early Sunday morning on 720 WGN, and getting settled in his chair is Mr. Dave Schwann. Good morning, Dave.
Hey.
What's happening,
Dave.
Pal?
Good morning to you. How you doing?
Good to see you.
You too.
I got some alerts that there's some storms moving in.
Yes, indeed. It was funny. I was driving in this morning, and it was weird to see the moon more or less out toward the east over the lake, and then to the north, when you look to the north, there was some lightning flashes.
Yeah, saw that.
So it was kind of a weird contrast.
Saw that on the way back to Wisconsin. What really bummed the whole family out as we were we were up on our boat this afternoon, is that at about 7:47, all of a sudden it was dark outside, you know?
Yeah, I know. This time of year when that starts to happen, why?
And people talk about summer being over because kids are back in school and Labor Day is always
along with that.
I don't go along with it either.
No.
Thank you. You know, it's end of September for me, and quite frankly, the weather's beautiful here really till the end of October, and I don't even want to think about that. It's going to be such a gorgeous week. And
I was just going to say, you know, summer, I guess, you know, when the kids, obviously, we felt that way, you know, when you go back to school, oh, it's all over now, that's it. But you still have a lot of nice weather ahead. I love fall.
I think so. Yeah,
I love fall.
Yeah, me too. Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan, of course. Now, next week, next Saturday, I am taking off. I'm going to do one last blast up north and hang out with the family. Mm-hmm. And you and I will be in for Steve Cochran and for Andrea Darlis on Labor Day Monday.
Right.
And something we
That's our holiday tradition.
Yeah, it's a holiday tradition for like a few years now. And then we've been adding the Christmas holidays into our mix too. So it's nice because it's probably, I don't know, probably ten times a year I'm filling in for Mr. Cochran. So it's always a blast to do that. And that Monday, this is what we're working on. And of course, you know, when you do a holiday show like that, you know, you think about, you know, Steve does his show every day. You're looking during the day for, you know, hot topics and great guests that you want for the next day. And there's some things you do in advance. But on the holidays, you really got to secure people out front because they make plans pretty quickly. They're out of town. All that good stuff. So I think we got Mayor Emanuel coming in, he might
coming
be in
the
studio. I think so, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about back to school because it's amazing. There's still a large percentage of students the day after Labor Day that's you know, even though kids are back in school in the burbs, CPS starts the day after Labor Day, there's a large percentage of kids that don't show up at school the first day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and talking about
you're working with one of them.
Yeah, well, that's ridiculous. But you know what? Here's the thing: ridiculous!
Just kidding.
That,
are you kidding?
That,
if I didn't show up the first day of school, I was in trouble.
But like, they didn't know. How do you not know that by September?
Oh, exactly. Yeah,
that is parental responsibility, and it's just a bunch of lazy, ridiculous behavior by people to give
Here
those
he goes,
excuses.
Folks.
I'm going to start going
Here
right
he
now.
Here he goes.
But you know, you think about what happened with Dwayne Wade's cousin walking her child to register her for school. And now I know the reports have said that maybe it was part of something bigger, a robbery and so forth. My heart goes out to Dwayne Wade and his family and this poor child that is going to be without
a mother.
Without a mother. But, you know, and doing such a thing of signing your kid up for school, I mean, it's such a basic daily activity. And, you know, we're going to also talk about on Labor Day, the gun violence in Chicago. There was a young man that was caught by a stray bullet not intended for him, and he died. And there's it's called Patrick Lives On. It's a fundraiser they're having for gun violence awareness and gun violence in Chicago. And LaRoyce Hawkins, who is a star of Chicago PD on NBC, is going to join us also.
In
studio,
be great.
And he's going to talk to us a little bit about that, and then we'll also talk to him about being back on the set. Then we're working on a bunch of other stuff too. I think the Chicago Cubs will be in here talking about their Cubs Authentics, which is, you know, after every game, you can buy bases from the game. You can buy bats. You can buy uniforms, seriously, of the players after every game. Game balls. I mean, it's phenomenal that they do that.
That's a good way to bring in some cash.
So I'm going to see if they'll bring in a like a base or something autographed, and then we'll give it away to one of our listeners.
Okay.
Something like
that. That sounds cool. Yeah.
Then I'm working on getting a curator of the Museum of the Moving Image, which is in New York. They have an online exhibit called The Living Room Candidate. And what they did is evaluated every presidential television commercial since the inception of television till the Trump and Clinton campaign here, and how it affected the outcome of the elections, what they did in their television commercials and how they handled them, dating all the way back to Eisenhower.
I was going to say about Eisenhower. Yeah. I know one of the first presidential campaigns, at least the acceptance speech, was Harry Truman.
Right.
I think that was the first one that was televised.
Yeah, you're
right.
Absolutely right.
But in terms of commercials, yes, Eisenhower, I think, would be, especially in his second term from 1956 on, and certainly Kennedy. Lyndon Johnson, some mm-hmm. controversial ads there.
Yeah, very much so.
So, yeah, indeed.
So we'll play a couple of those, and we'll talk history. Yeah, so you'll join me for that, of course, because you are the history buff. And speaking of history,
nerd.
Dave, no, not at all. we're going to also talk a little Bob Newhart. It's going to be his 87th birthday, so
wow.
I'm going to tape a conversation with him, and we'll play a little of that on the show as well. So
excellent.
We got a really big show. Speaking of history, so in the year 580, Dave, the Chinese,
I was
thank God for them, they invented toilet paper. They did. They invented toilet paper. What did people use, Dave, before toilet paper?
I have no idea.
Grass and leaves? Fur. Mussel shells.
Whatever worked.
That makes sense. Mussel shells, like shells on the beach. Corn cobs.
Corn cobs were very popular.
Oh, could you imagine?
Those were used on farms.
Joey's face is fantastic. Yeah.
Those were used on farms.
Yeah. go into that. Stinging nettles. I don't even know what that is. Leaves. I think they would sometimes just grab a squirrel, you know? You know what they did, though, in the early 1900s, too, is they used catalogs. So you got the Montgomery Ward or the Sears catalog to your home. You ripped out pages of the old catalog. And there was. Yep. That's what you did. So it was... invented way back when. Let's see here.
You said 580.
Yeah, 580.
B.C. or A.D.?
A.D.
Okay.
Rolled and perforated toilet paper, as we're familiar with today, was invented around 1880. Various sources attributed to Albany Perforated Wrapping Paper Company in 1877 and to the Scott Paper Company in 1879 or 1890. On the side note, the Scott Company was too embarrassed to put their name on their product, as the concept of toilet paper was a sensitive subject at the time, so they customized it for their customers. So hence the Waldorf Hotel in New York became a big name in toilet paper.
Well, they wanted to make it fancy.
Hear,
for years, it was always referred to in commercials as bathroom tissue.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, bathroom tissue.
Bathroom tissue.
Now, if I was going to mention a classic sitcom... what was the first sitcom that you heard a toilet flush?
All in the Family.
Let's take a listen.
Hey, dude, I brought a toilet paper.
No, with that, I bought some yesterday. It's in the closet in the kitchen.
Downstairs.
That's not going to do him much good.
No.
I ain't in the kitchen. Don't panic, Arch. Help's on the way. Be right there. I'll take it.
Oh, thanks, Mike. How come Daddy doesn't check for paper first?
Because he's too busy reading.
Just leave it there. I'll put it on a roll myself.
Absolute classic. You know what? I can't remember. There's a network. I was just flashing through DirecTV through the scheduling, and they're playing all the first couple seasons again on one of the networks.
Of All in the Family.
Of All in the Family.
Yeah,
classic, man.
You know classic. What? I hadn't seen in years, and just happened to stumble onto it. Emergency and The Incredible Hulk.
Emergency was a great show.
She's waving her arms there saying, yes, yes.
Yeah, Emergency's on a couple of hours in the afternoon.
You have to laugh. The haircuts, the cars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I was young again.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Yeah, Emergency. I used to watch, I think The Incredible Hulk was like every Friday night. That was like a big
one.
It was like The Hulk and The Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
I used to watch that too.
I didn't have very high standards when I was 10.
Oh, it's a fun show.
It is a fun show. 1859. Something you know a lot about because you did a special report for the station. The first Pullman sleeping car was in service in 1859. Sleeping cars were introduced about 1838, providing hotel sleeping accommodations for overnight passengers, although their use wasn't widespread until the late 1850s. Pullman began building and operating sleeping cars in 1859. They continued to expand the number of cars and won contracts and additional railroads throughout the country.
That's right, and he came up with the idea after spending a terrible night on a train, on an overnight train ride to somewhere, and he thought, there's got to be a better way, and that's what he came up with.
We've got a couple of audio clips from some Pullman porters and others talking about those days because they were there. Let's take a listen.
They were ordinary men going about their jobs as railroad attendants, making beds, shining shoes, and cooking and serving meals. In the process, they achieved something extraordinary. They blazed a path for the rise of the black middle class and helped propel the civil rights movement in America.
All right, and then the next one is going to be a Pullman porter.
We know all the Pullman porters that lived in the neighborhoods, living a good life. A lot of them were buying their homes. All of them had cars. And they seemed to be different from the rest of the neighborhood. So we decided, image for us, that we wanted to kind of be like them. Being black, you couldn't get decent jobs anyhow, you know. And that seemed to be the only, well, at that time, we thought it was a decent job.
But Pullman was a community, was a lifestyle.
Yeah, and well, the community itself didn't start until the 1880s, and then what is now known as Bronzeville is where many of the porters were living. So it was a lifestyle. You're right, Dave, and not only that, the porters themselves would bring copies of the early African American newspapers like the Chicago Defender down to the southern part of the country, and the people down there were exposed to what they thought might be a better way of life so that they would come to Chicago. And that is why we have what we now term the Great Migration.
And in this Pullman was dedicated, was it last year or the year before?
National Monument is now a year and a half.
Yeah, you know, look at that.
I could not get down there on Thursday, but here is what happened there on Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, Thursday was the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. Pullman is one of its newest monuments, and it's in conjunction with the state of Illinois also.
Sure.
So they've partnered is what they've done. But they had a naturalization ceremony where a number of people became American citizens at the Pullman site. Isn't that neat?
That's amazing. That's absolutely
I think that's
amazing.
A wonderful way to celebrate an anniversary like that, and also how American can you get? You know, you can become a citizen of this country, and they naturalized about 50 people there.
And I know your reports on Pullman can be found at WGNRadio.com. Always great reporting, Dave.
Thank you, sir.
Always.
Thank you.
1888, George Eastman patented the roll film camera for Kodak. 1901, U.S. President William McKinley is shot by an anarchist while visiting the Pan American Exhibition in New York. 1916,
who became president?
Oh, I don't know. Tell me.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, I was going to say Teddy Roosevelt.
Up until Kennedy, he was the youngest president we had.
That's amazing, because when you look at pictures of him.
I know.
He looks like he's 80. Well, not quite. But
he was in his very early 40s when he became president.
Now, if Hillary or Trump became president, I think they would be the oldest. Trump would be for sure. He'd be 70.
Yeah, he'd be close between. I don't remember how old Ronald Reagan was.
He was 68, I think.
I think so. Oh, yeah. He was close to 70 when he became president. Yes. So you're right. Dave, it would be close. They would be among the oldest.
1916, the first real supermarket opened up, the Piggly Wiggly in Memphis, Tennessee. That
Piggly
was the first
Wiggly.
Official major supermarket. 1934, the first NFL Chicago All-Star game took place. The score, the Chicago Bears 0, and the All-Stars 0.
0-0 was the final score?
No, final score was 0-0. 1975, fast forward a little bit, Gunsmoke goes off the air. Gunsmoke premiered on CBS television in 1955. It was on radio first, by the way, until 1961. Then on TV from 55 to 75, one of the longest running TV dramas of all time.
James Arness.
Yep. 1977, another milestone, the last broadcast of the Mary Tyler Moore Show on CBS.
I saw that.
Where did that come from? Yeah, so in 1970, Mary Richards, first female television character to be independent, they didn't want to make her divorced because people would think that she divorced Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
So they made it a broken engagement. They wanted to make sure they separated her character for that. But Gavin McLeod, Ted Knight, Valerie Harper, Cloris Leachman, Betty White, Ed Asner, bunch of spinoffs as well.
Remember Rhoda?
Oh, and Rhoda, of course.
Spin-off?
Valerie,
yeah.
Yeah, Russ. Rhoda, Phyllis, Lou Grant. The show ended still at the top of the ratings. And here is Ted Knight as Ted Baxter announcing the end of what the newsroom was on the fictional WJM TV. Let's take a listen.
Now, a personal note. Due to some very good opportunities that have opened up elsewhere, news director Lou Grant, news producer Mary Richards, news writer Murray Slaughter, and news hen Sue Ann Mivens are going to leave after tonight's program to begin exciting new ventures in broadcasting. Last night, as I lay awake in my bed, I wondered, how do I tell these dear friends and colleagues how I feel about them? How, I wondered, do you speak from here instead of here? Well, I finally got an idea. Up here.
I got to tell you, and what was funny in this whole episode is that Ted was the only one that was kept. The worst of the bunch was Ted was
Everybody
kept.
Else left.
Everybody else left.
That was a very, very touching final scene.
Yeah, when she left the newsroom. Here's a very, very rare final curtain call that I don't believe aired in syndication, but it aired on the original night of the show ending, where they introduced everybody to say goodbye for the final time after the final scene aired. Let's take a listen. You know, she ended up going out, obviously, on top of the ratings of this thing. But you know what? It's like one of those things you wanted to leave on a high note. But then that very next year, she put out a variety show. Because, it's hard to retire, you know?
Yeah.
And that show lasted 4 episodes. But it co-starred David Letterman and Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton also.
Michael Keaton as well. All right. All right, we're going to talk Walter Jacobson and his perspective next on 720 WGN.